You know, I was just thinking as I sat here this morning that I dare say that church is going to get more spiritual and there's going to be a few more people at prayer meetings probably this fall. And, you know, it might just be that someone would say, well, what do you mean? What do you mean? Well, why would there be more this fall? Well, you know, I'll tell you something. First of all, I got blessed when I saw those kids the way they came to the front. Wow, just like this, excited. Isn't that something? Well, that doesn't blend just with what I was going to start to say, but I know you're curious. Why will I say that prayer meetings will be more attended and everything and perhaps more spiritual? Well, I'll tell you why. The National Hockey League is closed down. Hallelujah. Praise God, there are blessings in disguise. And of course, don't worry about that too much. The Blue Jays are still doing something, but I don't think they're playing ball anyway, whatever. I don't know what they're playing, what they think they're playing, but whatever. It's a wonderful thing to escape the boredom, isn't it? But I don't think you're going to be bored this morning. Praise God, praise God. Good to be here. I don't really feel I need an introduction to Napanee. My father pastored here a total of 12 and a half years on two different pastorates, 2.5 the first time. I don't remember that because I was with the angels that time. But the last one, he was here about 10 years. And I started in grade 6 when they moved here the second time and went right through high school while here. That was a blessing. Made a lot of friends, always enjoyed it. Fishing, hunting, and all that. Now I've got more spiritual. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. I kept thinking this morning that words of David, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, if you had all day, I'd go to the piano and sing a couple of songs. You ought to be blessed that I don't do it. See, you'd be thankful for that. I'd go to the piano and sing a couple of songs, and I'd probably grab the pastor, somebody's guitar here. Oh, I love guitars. I played them for about 75 years. No, not quite that. I think the last time I was here might have been, I'm not sure how the chronology goes, might have been to Vernon Wager's memorial service, or maybe it's after that that I preached here for a Sunday. I don't know. But it's good to be back with you again, and I always feel at home when I come to Napanee. You know, even though that's a lot of years ago, my wife never gets lost when we come to Napanee because I can always tell her where to turn and what to do. I'm thinking of one pastor one time. He was in pastoring in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. W.H. Found was his name, and he said he used to be taking the ladies to WM meetings and everything, and his wife would be sitting in the back seat. And his first name was Harry, and he said she'd always be saying, now, Harry, look out, there's a red light. Harry, watch that car, and so forth. So he was a smart man. He took her to the license bureau and got her to get a license, a driving license. And in the middle of Saskatoon, there are 5 corners all converged at once, and she was driving, and the lights were confusing, and she didn't know which way to turn, which light to go by, and she says, Harry, what'll I do? He says, get in the back seat. Some of you just got it. Hallelujah. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Now I've got to tell you something. My wife said to me this week, Why don't you preach about there's so much shaking going on with the Arabs and the European common market and the condition of the United States and on it goes, and the terrible things that are happening in some places. And I thought, yeah, I'd like to preach on that. So what I might do, if you don't go to sleep on me, I won't let you anyway. I just want to mention that. This will be an introduction. I kind of feel like I'm going to preach this morning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. If I act different, it's because I'm harnessed behind the ears here, and I've never had them behind the ears before like this. You see, what's going on in the world today is, I want to encourage you this way. You see all the shaking that's going on? There's a lot of shaking out there. The whole world is shaking. China is infiltrating us now, and in the internet, and piracy on the internet, etc., and all this going on. And everywhere you look, the uprising in the Arab world. And you know, if you didn't know why and what's happening, you'd get worried and concerned and lose sleep over it. But until you stop and realize who's doing the shaking. Hallelujah. Missed a good place to say amen there. I can see that I need to refer to this because who's doing the shaking? God's doing the shaking. You see, there are three great shakings talked about in the Bible. In Hebrews chapter 12, the first one was when God gave the law. Thrones were dispossessed. Troubled nations were dispossessed. Human life patterns changed. Old human and profane habits were brought up short with the thundering voice from Sinai. Even Moses says, God, I can't endure this. I can't stand this thundering voice. Until he realized that God was giving them the law. And that's been one of the greatest blessings. Jesus came to fulfill it. And then the second great shaking was when a baby was born in Bethlehem of Judea. And that shook the world. Old Herod said to those that are around, tell me where he is. I want to go and worship him too. And he was all shook up, like people say today. All shook up. And ceremonial observances and symbolisms were brought to a halt. And thank God we have the ministry of the grace of God. And all a part of society today. They called him a wine-bibber. They called Jesus a troublesome fella. They called him an imposter. They called him an illegitimate babe. They called him a disturber of the peace. They called him a teacher of false doctrines. They called him a drunkard. They did it all. But God shook the whole world up when that baby was born. And praise God, I'm glad he did. Hallelujah. Amen. And it shook me up at 5 years of age. I attended school. Where was that? Was in Kingston. All right. I was in kindergarten then. And we had revival meetings and an adult service. And when the adult evangelist gave the invitation, Elwin Argue was his name, from Winnipeg, I said to the babysitter, can I go up and get saved? She said, sure. And I went up and got saved and wept at the altar. And you know what? A few years later, I went and held 5-6 weeks of revival meetings in that very same church in Kingston, Ontario. But anyway, the next day, I went to kindergarten. My teacher's name was Miss Ferrier. She looked 85 years old to me then. But anyway, she used to gather us around in a horseshoe in the center, and she'd sit in the center. I think she was eavesdropping all the time. That's what I think. Who's got something to tell us today? Boy, did I ever one-up her that day. I didn't think about it. I lifted my hand first. Yes, Gerald, what have you got to tell us? I said, I got saved last night. She said, you what? I thought she'd say hallelujah. I got saved last... Oh, she said, you stick right to it. Who's next? Quick. You know what I mean? It's really something. She all shook up. But I tell you something, I've never been the same since. The final shaking is going to eclipse the whole thing. And that's what's going on right now. That, you see, this is the beginning of the final shaking that's going to usher in the coming of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So the more it shakes and the more problems you see in the world and the worse the news gets, the better the news in heaven is. Hallelujah. God shaking it up. I tell you, thousands may come to Christ in nations of the world, but I'm getting ready for the upper taker. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, wouldn't you say that's the shortest sermon you've ever heard? Well, don't celebrate too quick. There's a whole hour coming. All right. Now I want to give you the good news. All right. I remember hearing a story about the Italian airline pilot. He came on the speaker. They were flying. He said, I got a good news and a bad news. He says, I give you the bad news first. We're lost. Now, he said, I give you the good news. We're making good time. Come on. You're coming by freight. Well, I'll tell you, the good news today is that Jesus Christ is coming, is shaking the world, shaking the kingdoms, and the more it shakes, the closer I am to the rapture of the church. Hallelujah. Praise God. In fact, people that know the Bible are the only ones that understand what's going on today. That's right. Now, in 1 Peter 1:8, here's the final good news for this service. Rejoicing with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Well, how can you rejoice when there's so much bad news? I'll tell you, the Bible is filled with good news that Jesus Christ is coming back and to start his millennial kingdom, and I'm going to be there, and so are you, by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Scattered throughout the New Testament writings are a number of very beautiful and sacred doxologies. That means hymns expressing the praise and honor to God. 2 Corinthians 1:3 is one of these. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Isn't that nice? Here's another one of these doxologies. In Ephesians 1:3 is another. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I don't know how you felt this morning. Maybe you had a headache. Maybe you got a sore toe. Who knows what it is? I'll tell you something. We are blessed. Hallelujah. You're blessed this morning. I'm blessed. Whether I realize it or not, I am blessed. The Course says, every day that I live, I am blessed. In fact, Ephesians 1:3, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. You see, I just took a look at that last night before I closed the book. And you see, three of those blessings, he hath chosen us. We didn't choose him. He chose us. He found us. He knew who we were before the foundation of the world. He knew who we were before he ever went to the cross. As the hymn writer says, I was on his mind. Well, hallelujah. If you don't want to celebrate, that's all right. But I'll tell you, I'm going to celebrate this morning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I am glad that I'm on the right side of it all. Praise be to God. Then it says he has adopted us and made it. I won't stop for that. This beautiful song of praise in 1 Peter 1:3, it will be our textual, rejoicing with joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's as though the inspired writer is saying, I'm praising God for all he has done for me and for all the great blessings he has bestowed upon me. Now just think of all these great blessings. In 2 Corinthians 1:3, it says, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, did you get that? In Ephesians 1:3, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings and in heavenly places in Christ. 1 Peter 1:3 to 9, no less than 7 great blessings are mentioned. The first of these is mercy. The next one is begotten us. The third one is inheritance. Oh, hallelujah. I heard a true story at one time. It was a way back when England was ruled by whatever party was ruling. You could be put to death if you went to the wrong church, because that party controlled the church. And this one little dear little grandmother didn't know that the political hierarchy had changed that week. And if she could, she could have been in serious trouble going to the wrong church that wasn't affiliated with the political party in power. And here she was, didn't know. And a soldier accosted her on the way and said, "Where might you be going?" Oh, she caught on then that there could be trouble. "Why," she said, "my elder brother has died, and his will is being read this morning, and I have an interest in it." Well, hallelujah. Come on, you got it. Praise the Lord. My elder brother is Jesus. He died. His will is being read this morning. Hallelujah. And I have an interest in it. Well, glory to God. We are blessed, aren't we? Praise the Lord. All right. Inheritance. Third blessing, being kept. Fifth one, even through trials and testings. Number six, rejoicing with joy unspeakable and the salvation of our souls eternally. All these blessings. What a wonderful plan. What wonderful blessings. And best of all, look who's behind them. God. Heaven's banks will never go bankrupt. Hallelujah. God's behind it, and as sure as he's promised it, it's going to do it. Every jot and tittle is going to be fulfilled. Praise the Lord. We're a happy people today. We're a blessed people. It's so wonderful. So the apostle sings here, "Blessed be God." What for? First of all, he says, for the abundant mercy that he has shown us. Do we ever stop to think of God's mercy? Why should he take any a thought of us? The psalmist David said, when I see the sun and the moon, you know what? The earth travels through space at 18 miles a second. Think of that. Why, we traveled a long way since we came to church this morning. And we still feel comfortable, don't we? 18 miles a second it hurls through space. Oh my, what a creation God has. And my Father owns it all. Hallelujah. And he says he's going to bless me. If he can make the earth spin and hang it on nothing, then he's able to bless me above all blessings in the world. Praise the Lord. Oh, we have what a claim that is. We did not love him. We never did one good thing for him. We were sinners. We were enemies. We were condemned. Our sins deserved eternal death. But God had mercy upon us. Psalm 103 and 8 to 11. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. But for his grace, we would have been banished from his presence long, long, long ago. Here's the second blessing here. He has begotten us again. He reached out and brought us back, even by the death of his own beloved Son, and brought us into fellowship with the Father. Hallelujah. Through the Son, Jesus Christ, we are now made members of God's wonderful family. In John 1, 11 to 14, he came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God that are born of God. Galatians 3:28, for you are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Children of wrath first, a child of disobedience, but now made members in particular and joined heirs with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I was at a dentist some time ago, and he had some Christian influence. There's no question about that. I'd been to him a number of times, so he told me quite a little story. He said, you know what? I had an atheist in my chair not many days back, he said. And he said, that male fella made a peculiar statement to me. Here's what the atheist said. He said to the dentist, do you know something? There should be one day a year set aside to celebrate atheists and atheism. Think of that. There should be. He said, there's a day for this and a day for that and a day for something else. Why isn't there a day for atheists? I wasn't prepared for what was coming. And the dentist said to him, there is a day for atheists. He said, and the atheist said, you're kidding, is there? When is it? He said, April Fool's Day. Hallelujah! Woo! Glory to God! I'll tell you, I never forgot that one. Praise the Lord. Now, you'll take that home with you if you don't remember anything else, won't you? We are blessed. All right. And here's the second one, that he has given us such a glorious hope. Wow. The Lamb. The last part of verse 3 and 4 says, the unbeliever has no hope for the future. Why, it was Hattie Buell that wrote, my father is rich in houses and lands. He owns the wealth of the world in his hands of rubies and diamonds, of silver and gold. His coffers are full. He's got riches untold. I'm a child of the king. You know how she came to write that? Because her father, who was the fifth richest man in the United States at that time, and she was the only child, the heiress of all he possessed, he gave her 24 hours to repent and recant of this faith in Jesus Christ, or she was out and they cast her out of the family. She just said to something to them like this, I love you very much and I always will, but I can't forsake what Jesus has done for me. And with one suitcase in her hand, she left that home and left the fortune. Oh, but she said, my father is rich in houses and land. The owns the wealth of the world in his hand. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I feel rich this morning. Don't you? Amen, amen, amen. All right. What a blessing, what a blessing. Fanny J. Crosby, when she was only 7 years of age, she had a very high IQ. They said it was about 145. That's pretty high. That's so high, I can't even see it. All right. But anyway, she at 7 years of old, she was born blind, of course. And she wrote this little poem. She said, what a blessing, if I can recall it. My. I'm so busy preaching, I can't think of the poem she wrote. To weep and cry, because I'm blind, she says, I cannot and I won't. Praise God. What a wonderful thing. She wouldn't weep, wouldn't cry because she was blind, because she had the blessings of heaven in her soul. And Jesus is more than anything else can ever be. Praise God. Just a few more uncertain years the unbeliever has down here. And then what the hope is. The hope is the judgment seat. In judgment seat of the great white throne, giving account for every sin that has ever been committed. But now we have a glorious inheritance that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. Not only in heaven, but Jesus himself. Numbers 18:20. I am thy inheritance, God said to Aaron. In Psalm 16, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance. Yes, I have a goodly heritage. The psalmist said in Psalm 17, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Oh, praise God. Here's Fanny J. Crosby's poem. Oh, what a happy soul am I, although I cannot see. I am determined in this world contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and cry because I'm blind, I cannot and I won't. You know what I'd like you to do right now? For just 1 minute, would you stand with me, please? Would you do that? Would you stand with me? I would like you to do one thing. For every trial you've had, for every problem you've had, lift your hand to God and thank God for it. Praise God. Thank God for the victory. Thank God you're more than conqueror through Jesus Christ that loved you. Thank God that you have a hope eternal and a hope in heaven, that doesn't matter what the trials are, the rewards are greater than anything man has ever imagined. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Turn around, shake hands with somebody and say, I think this is going to be a good sermon. Now, here's another thing. Because, you see, blessed be God, because he is testing us now that we might receive praise and honor when we see him. You know, so often we don't see the big picture. So many Christians don't see the big picture. When the testings, when the trials come, we probably say something like this, "Oh me," or "God have mercy," or "God help me." And you say, "How you doing, brother so-and-so? How you doing, sister?" "Oh, not too good. I've had testings and I've had trials and I've had this." Aye, brother, God is allowing us to be tested. Why? Because he has a greater purpose for our lives. He has a greater purpose for us in this future. He's allowing us to be tested so that we can be a greater blessing to someone else. You can't lead anybody where you've never been yourself. Can you say amen? Let me give you a little personal experience. When I was first married, that's a lot of years ago now, my wife was only 7 months and she took ill with a very serious heart condition. In fact, most of those 19 years, most of the 18 and a half years that were left, I went places alone. I was alone at a conference. I was alone at a rally. I was alone. Sometimes they'd wheel her into church in the side door, but not in the congregation, just where she could hear. And you know, during those times, there was testing. I want to tell you that. I had a big church of 500-600 people to pastor, and it was a testing time. Sometimes I'd lay down on the grass in a summer night, and 12 o'clock midnight, the house was in darkness, everybody's in bed, and I'd say, oh God, give me grace. But you know what? I'll tell you, God allows these trials that he might use us for his glory. We might bless someone else. Oh, did he bless me? I said, did he bless me? Hallelujah. You got it now, didn't you? Right? I'll tell you, I was pastoring in St. John, New Brunswick then. Two different ladies came along to me, different, but they're women of prayer. One said, "Pastor Morgan, I was praying this week and God showed me." Now, this was a year and a half after my first wife had passed away. "And God showed me that he has a wife for you." I said, "Really? Did he? That's some kind of news. I'm tired of being alone." "Yes," she said. Another one came and said, "I was praying this week and God showed me that he's got a wife for you, and it's when you go to Coburg Camp this summer, all the way from St. John, New Brunswick, that you're going to meet her." I've always said, you should see how I went to camp that year. Oh, I mean, I wanted that blessing, I tell you. And you know what? God sneaks up on you sometimes. Some few years before that, I was preaching a camp meeting in DeBert, Nova Scotia. And they said, "A Baptist school teacher just got the baptism." Oh, I said, wonderful. But God sneaks up on you. If God had said she's going to be your wife, I would have prayed a triple blessing on her. You know that. I just went on praying for someone else. Now she's a Baptist, of course, you know that. All right. But you know what? And I tell you something. We went out 7 times. When you pray a lot, you don't need to, well, it doesn't take 10 years to make up your mind. Amen. The second night we went out, I said, "You know what? I got news for you. You're going to be my wife." You want to know what she said? Sure you do. She said, "I think we better pray." Well, I said, "Lord, she's coming by freight, but you'll get through to her." Hallelujah. And we got married, and I tell you, it's been happiness ever since. Praise the Lord. The loneliness is gone. But you know something? I can empathize. I can sympathize. I can identify with people that are going through testings and trials. Why? If you can't lead anybody where you've never been yourself. You need to praise God for that trial. You need to praise God for that testing. Why? Because God wants to use you in a greater measure in the future. And he can't do it unless you've experienced it through with him. Praise the Lord. You missed a great place to say amen right there. Hallelujah. I think some of you are worried when I told you I was going to preach an hour. I'll be finished pretty soon. One preacher said one time a man took his son to church and he'd never taken the boy before, apparently. And somebody said, hallelujah. And the little boy says, what's that mean, Dad? Oh, he said, they're just praising God. Somebody said, praise the Lord. He said, what's that mean, Dad? Oh, he says, he's just praising the Lord. Finally, the preacher said, I'll be finished in 5 minutes. And the little fellow says, what's that mean, Dad? He says, it doesn't mean a thing, son. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. This is a wonderful day to be a Christian. Praise the Lord. He's testing us now that we might praise and honor him when we see him. We often lose sight of the bigger picture. We don't see why God's doing it. We don't see that there's a purpose in it. We don't see that God wants to use us in a greater measure. Don't cast that thing away from you that God, maybe you've got a cranky neighbor. Maybe you don't, but maybe you do. Maybe you got a cranky neighbor. And you say, oh my Lord, if he or she does any more of this talking or whatever, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. Don't. You may need that piece later on. All right. If they do that one more time, I tell you something. You want to praise God for that neighbor. Their work, God's working something in you. He's teaching you patience. He's teaching you perseverance. He's teaching you all this kind of thing that someday it's going to result that you're able to bless others going through the same thing. Hallelujah. You're still awake. Praise God. I'm really hurrying, well, you wouldn't believe it, but I am. Trials may come, allowed or sent by him. But why? Because God permits them for his glorious purpose. Remember Peter. Jesus came and said, Peter, Satan has desired to have you and sift you like wheat. You know what I thought you'd read in the next verse? You'd think you'd read where Jesus said, but I've told Satan to get out of the way and leave you alone and don't even touch you. He didn't say that. He said, but I prayed for you that your faith might fail not. In other words, I'm going to let you go through it. I'm going to let the devil take a round out of you, but when he won't touch your faith. And when it's all over, you're going to preach the sermon on the day of Pentecost and 3,000 are going to be saved. Hallelujah. Glory. Why? We need to see the bigger picture of why God allows these things. It says in James 1:12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. In Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. You may not understand them, but God knows what it's all about. And when he hath tried me, Job says, I shall come forth as gold. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We rejoice in verse 8 with joy unspeakable and full of glory. My. You can have trials, you know. D.L. Moody preached a sermon one time many years ago now in Chicago. And at the end, a little lady came up to him and she said, Mr. Moody, I know that was a good sermon, something like this, she said. I know that was a good sermon. But she said, I would have got a lot more out of it if it wasn't for that ungodly, worldly, fleshly tie you've got on. She said, as a matter of fact, I brought a pair of scissors, and if you'd give me permission, I'd like to cut it off. He said, if it'll make you feel better, sister, go ahead and cut it off. Oh, with great delight, she snipped the tie off. Now he said, loan me the scissors and stick out your tongue. It's been giving me some problems. Woo! Hallelujah! Well, glory to God! I'm a victor this morning. Praise, and so are you. I hope you can walk out of this church with your steps just a little bit higher this morning. Hallelujah. Saying praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen. Paul and Silas in prison, physically beaten, suffering from treatment, yet praying and praising God for his goodness. I was thinking last night as I was preparing this, now this is not necessarily spiritual, but maybe it's worldly, and it does give an illustration. I don't know where this song came from. I think it was Frank Sinatra that sang it, and I wasn't any great lover of Frank Sinatra. I called him Frank Sinatra, not so hotra. But anyway, you didn't get that, did you? No, all right. But he used to sing that one, I'm singing in the rain, I'm singing in the rain. What a wonderful feeling, I'm happy again. Oh, bless God, I'm singing in the rain. Hallelujah. I'm singing in the middle of the testing. I'm singing in the problems that come my way. I may not understand them. I don't understand why. I don't understand what God's doing. But I know when he tried me, I'm going to come forth as gold. And I know he has my best interests at heart. Hallelujah. And I'm going to come through on the other side rejoicing in the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Oh, hallelujah. He has promised to keep us, and one day our salvation will be complete. We're kept by the power of God through faith, ready to be revealed. I like that old Christian song, wait till you see me in my new home. Hallelujah. Can I tell you a little story? It's true as anything. When I was an evangelist, for a while, I had a man traveling with me, and what a musician he was, Joey Bochynek. What a musician. I've never met anyone like him in all my life. He mastered 9 instruments. He was something else. Well, one of the big orchestras, who was it? Guy Lombardo? I don't know which one. Phoned him and said, Joey, would you like to join our band? Joey says, no. He said, you couldn't afford me. And the guy says, just supposing it was Lombardo, I don't know. Lombardo says, what do you mean I can't afford you? Don't you play in churches? Joey said, yes, I do. Well, he said, I don't think we'd have any problem affording you then. You know what I mean? And Joey said, you don't understand it. I'm a multimillionaire right now. And he said there was this silence on the other end of the line for a little bit. The guy couldn't put this together. He plays in churches and he's a multimillionaire. And Joey says, hey, I told him, he says, I already got a mansion on the, I own a mansion already, he said. They're tax-free, praise God. And the conversation stopped for a little bit on the other side. Joey says, what I didn't tell him was that my wife just wrote me a letter from Elkhart, Indiana, and said, Joey, the kitchen floor is sagged 6 inches on the one side. He said, take the kids and stand on the other side till I get home. But he's a millionaire. Hallelujah. Brother Les, I tell you, you're a millionaire, brother. Praise God. Amen. You got yourself a good wife, too. I'll tell you that. Stand up so they all know you. Come on, get on your feet. That's it. There you are. Give them a little hand this morning. Praise God. One day our salvation will be complete. Receiving the end of your faith, it says, even the salvation of your souls. We have been saved from the penalty of sin. We are being saved from the power of sin. And we soon shall be saved from the very presence of sin. Praise God. And I close with this. I'm going to invite you to turn to Psalm 47. I had some folk drive up from Montreal a few weeks ago now. He had just been diagnosed with cancer in the lungs. And very, very concerned. I'd like you to turn to Psalm 47 because this is where I referred them to. I felt led of God. And I'm going to close with that this morning. Psalm 47. This is a psalm that my mother's mother, my maternal grandmother, taught me or had me memorize when I was a very young kid. All right? Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Oh, Psalm 46, pardon me. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed. Does that apply to this day and age? It sure does. And though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, that's an earthquake. Though its waters roar and be troubled, that's a tsunami. Hallelujah. Though the mountains shake with its swelling, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. And in verse 6, the nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts, the God of battles, is with us. Verse 9, he breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. God's going to be exalted with all the shaking that's going on. You know what? We're going to be victorious, aren't we? We're going to be victorious. We used to sing, I'm going through. I'm going through. I'll pay the price whatever others do. I'll take the way with the Lord's anointed few. Hallelujah. Not always few, for many. Praise God, praise God. Let's bow our hearts together. Lord, we want to apply your word this morning. We want to apply it to every one of our hearts. We want to, Lord, hide it in our hearts. Because really, this word this morning is all about life. It's all about the battle in the Christian life, in the Christian faith. But thank God that we have the victory. And if the old enemy comes this week, we know what to do with him. We know to tell him that we are more than victorious through Christ that loved us and gave himself for us. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. How many can say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
One more time.
Praise the Lord.
One more.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You know what? This is going to be a good week. This is going to be a good week. I am a new creation. We used to sing, and the devil's no relation. Hallelujah.